Let's go with the message this morning in a series called The Hunt. The Hunt. I'm going to walk you a little bit through Passion Week from this day on, back when Jesus was here on this earth. And then I'm going to get to what I want to talk about today, and that's the crosshairs of Christ. Can you say that with me? The crosshairs of, come on, y'all got to help me, come on. The crosshairs of Christ. You'll see this shirt has a target or crosshairs on it. And you'll see that in our message today, in our series. And so that's what we're looking at, the crosshairs of Christ. Let's have a little walk back in time. All we have today will be on the big screen. You can get this message. You can download it from our website tomorrow. I'm talking about all the notes and everything. You can do just what Raj does, all the graphics. And we've got churches now that call us, that use these PowerPoints. And who wouldn't? My goodness, they're great. I mean, all the work is put into them. And it's not with me on them, and you can just have a Bible study, what have you, or let some of these verses sink into your heart, especially this week. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves. That's what it means. Matthew 18:11, the verse on the shirt, says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost, or come to seek and to save that which was lost. So that was Jesus' mission. Jesus left heaven not like, oops, where am I going? All right, that's not how it happened. God knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He was on a mission. He was on a hunt. You understand? Getting the idea of the title now? He was on a what? A hunt. He was on a hunt. He's still hunting today. He got crazy people like me down here on this planet that's helping him hunt people for his kingdom, for his glory. Amen? God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to what? Repentance. God wants you saved. God doesn't love me. You need to get over that. He does. He loves you. He's on a hunt. That's why he came. Let's go back in time to Palm Sunday. Matter of fact, let's back it up a night. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, which is right outside of Jerusalem. I've been there many, many, many times. Cut off the phone. Everybody can do that now. Have a good time. Here we go. Cut it off. 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany, which is right outside Jerusalem, where Lazarus was, Mary and Martha too, which had been dead, and he raised him from the dead a while back, John 11. Now in John 12, there they made him a supper. I guess if somebody raises your brother from the dead, you ought to feed him. Amen? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Can you imagine? There's our brother. He was dead. You were really stinking the other day. Can you imagine that supper? Man, that is something right there. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. I'd say if somebody raised your dead brother from the dead who'd been stinking for 3 days, you ought to get some perfume and anoint that person's feet. Amen? That's what she did. Wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Move on down to verse 9. Much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. They knew Jesus was in that house. And they came not for Jesus' sake only. Oh, they wanted to see that miracle, man, for sure. But, you know, they wanted to see Lazarus, too. I would have. Man, if you'd have had a ticket, give me one. I'm going. Let's go. We're going to go see that dead man. Was dead for 3 days and stinking. Yeah, I'm with you. Come on. They wanted to see Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. Here, poor boy done died once. Now these other people trying to kill him. That's rough. Because, why'd they want to kill him? Because of Lazarus coming from the dead, many Jews went away and started following Jesus. That's a good reason right there to follow Jesus. If he can bring the dead to life, that's a good reason to follow Jesus. Amen? On the next day, much people that were come to the feast. So now the next day, which is Palm Sunday. The next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches from palm trees, and they went forth to meet him, and they cried, say it with me, Hosanna! Come on, one more time. They said, Hosanna! Which means, save now! They didn't know what they were talking about.
All they knew is there was this man who had raised this other man who was dead for 3 days from the dead. And buddy, if anybody can save us from the Romans, this man can. Amen? They didn't necessarily have a clue of what was going to happen. They said, "Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." Amen. And Jesus, when he found a young ass, I had an old black preacher say recently, that's why he uses the King James, because he gets to say words that you NIV people don't get to say. Now that's funny right there. So when he had found a young ass, I shouldn't have said it again, he sat thereon, as it's written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king comes sitting on an ass's colt," or a donkey, in case you didn't get that. And Jesus, so they're hollering and hooping, and he answers them and says this weird statement, "The hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit." What is that? Huh? So this was all happening. "He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." The clock's moving. What happens? Now it's the middle of the week. We're just taking a little journey. It's the middle of the week. We still celebrate this. It's called what now? Communion. It's called communion now, right? Don't we still celebrate communion? Amen? This was about, sort of. Look at it. The Last Supper, middle of the week. "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus. They said unto him, Where are we going to prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He said, Now go into the city to such a man, say unto that man, The master said, My time's at hand. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples." Can you imagine getting instructions like that? Say what, boss? "And the disciples did just as Jesus appointed to them. They went and told that man, you know what? It all worked out. They made ready Passover. The Last Supper. When the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. As they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall say it with me, betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and they began every one to say, Is it me? And he answered and said, He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, You said it. As they were eating, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, Say it with me. Take, eat. This is my body. He took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Hang in here with me. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of what? Olives. Now you might think that's a long way off. This is all right there together. Bethany. Jerusalem. Back across the Kidron Valley is the Mount of Olives and the garden. You remember the garden, don't you say? This is all happening now. It's moving now. Things are clicking. The time of his departure is at hand. So they sing, they go over across the Kidron Valley, and they come to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then comes Jesus with them into a place called, say it with me, Gethsemane. He said unto the disciples, Sit here while I go and pray over yonder. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. He began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he says unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, watch with me, Jesus says. He went a little further, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Y'all have heard this before, haven't you? He comes unto the disciples and he finds them what? Sleep. He says unto Peter, Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done." And he came and he found them what? Sleeping again. For their eyes were very heavy. He left them. He went away again. He prayed the third time, saying the same words he had prayed before. Then he comes to his disciples and he says unto them, "Sleep on. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." For the garden. Now we see the betrayal. What happens? Same scene, same setting. "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand who is going to betray me." And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus, and he said, "Hail, Master." And he kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, say the word with me, "Friend." Now that's a God that loves right there. Amen? "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and they took him. I put this up. The denials. Usually we think of one person that denied Jesus. What was his name? Peter. Oh no, all of them did. Look at it. Matthew 26:56, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him," and what? Can't you imagine them running away? "You were with him, No. And they all forsook him and fled. They denied him. The condemnation. So they've arrested Jesus, and they bring him to this man, Pilate. Pilate says unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." But the governor said, "Why? What evil has this man done?" They cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, but rather a tumult was made, he took water. He washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, say this with me, "His blood be on us and on our children." Wow. That's some anger there, isn't it? Then released he Barabbas unto them, Pilate did, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, they took Jesus into the common hall. They gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And they took the reed. They smote him on the head with the crown of thorns. After that they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him. And they put his own raiment on him, and they led him away to what? Y'all wore out yet? I don't understand the Bible. Did you understand that? It's the Bible. This is where I want to get right now to the message. The hunt. The hunt. Y'all ready? Let's go hunting with Jesus. Here we go. The hunt. Can you say that with me? The. Oh, it looks like it's over. His work is done. He's going to take it easy now, I guess, huh? Oh, no. Oh, no. I saw something new this time, fresh. Oh, I'd seen it many times. But it really came clear to me. Jesus just never gives up on people. Did you know that? Say. He can see good in you that you don't know you have. He can see you reaching people for Christ, and today you can't even open your mouth hardly and say anything. He sees potential in you. Who would have thunk? Hell-raising teen, son of a drunk mama. I'd be preaching here in Englewood, Florida. And whether you knew it or not, I've traveled all over the United States, been all over the place, preaching the Word of God. Crazy old me from Rockingham, North Carolina. He saw I could be used of him. I have potential. If I have potential, you definitely got some. Amen? He's on the hunt. Even as he's being led away to be crucified. So follow the message with me. Are you ready? Here we go. The crosshairs of Christ. Can you say that with me? The crosshairs of Christ. I want you to get this. Here we go. We're going with Jesus now. He's got his cross. Let's walk with him. Here he goes. The target. He's got his cross, yet there's people in this story as he walks along that he's going to reach for the glory of God. And we're going to talk about them forever down through the ages. It's incredible. Here he goes. He's got the cross. And he comes along, and there's this man. Can you say his name with me? Simon of, look at the scripture. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear his cross. As they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. I believe Jesus had this guy and God had this guy all in the scope, all in the target, on the hunt for this guy. And they compelled a Simon Cyrenian who passed by coming out of the country, the father of who? Say his kids' names. Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So it's a dad with two boys. Interesting. Who is this guy, Simon, that Jesus has in his sights? Well, this is a father of two young boys. Their name is Alexander and Rufus. We later see that this Rufus, and theologians, biblical scholars, believe it to be the same Rufus, the son of Simon. This man became a chosen helper of the Apostle Paul to give the gospel to people like you and me. Oh, I just thought it was an accident. No. He had him in his scopes. You understand? Yes or no? Interesting thing is, look, salute Rufus, Paul says when he writes the book of Romans. Chosen in the Lord. Then he makes this statement. And his mother and who? Mine. I'm not saying this dogmatically. I don't know. Many people believe it to be the Rufus way back when. But here's what other people, theologians and scholars, believe. It's possible that this mother is also the woman mentioned in 2 John. Verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only, but also they that have known the truth. What's the point? I don't know if that's the Rufus. I don't know if that's the mama. All I know is that this fellow, Simon of Cyrene, was no accident. Years later, there'd be a song written about this man. I've sung it many times. How many have heard me sing Watch the Lamb? And I'm just one little old guy that did it. Something was in his sights for this fellow. Y'all listening or not? He was on the hunt. And look, I want you to check it out. Pop it up. Target. Hit. Right there in the heart, baby. Can you imagine what kind of follower you would be of Jesus if he was bleeding and the blood of his cross was running down your face? Say, if you had a chance to walk like that with him and carry that cross, what a guy for Jesus. No accident. He was on a hunt. Isn't that crazy? Keep looking with me. The story keeps going. Let's see who else. He has it in his crosshairs as he's walking along and has that cross. Who's in his crosshairs? Here we go. The target, here it is. That guy. The thief on the cross. See him? Say, y'all got him? Yes or no? Got him in your crosshairs? See him up there? Just an accident? that guy's right next to him? No, I don't think so. He's on a hunt. He's on a mission. Look at the scriptures. Then were there two what? Thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Other scriptures talk about it. There was also two other malefactors or thieves led with him to be put to death. And when they were to come to the place which is called Calvary, they were crucified with him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. There's no doubt about this at all. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." Mocking Jesus, basically. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing you're in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord," say it with me, "remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Then Jesus said this, because he'd been on the hunt. Jesus said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," say it with me now, "today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know what? I'm going to talk about this fellow just a second. The fact that Jesus saved a thief on the cross, doesn't that give you hope? How many have ever thought about this thief and think, well, if he loved him, he could love me? Can I see some hands here in the building? I've used this story so many times. This is no accident. Jesus is on the hunt, so preachers like me can tell you, you're without excuse not trusting Christ. If he can save him, he can save you. You got it? How many people I've talked to, Pastor Lindo, you've talked to them laying on their deathbed. And who did we use? Who did we pull up? "I've done terrible things in my life. My life's over." And we go, "Yeah, let me tell you about a guy who had done terrible things, and he was on his deathbed, but he's hanging on a cross. That's where he was, a thief." If Jesus could love him, he can love you, sir. I've led people to the Lord in their last hours, their last days, by using this rascal right here. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, when Jesus was carrying that cross and he was on the road to that cross and being crucified, I'm telling you something. He was on a hunt. You got it? He had this guy in his crosshairs. Target. Hit. Got it? Y'all right? Amen. Let's keep going. I'm still walking. Here we go with Jesus. Surely, is there other people? Look at this one. The target. That guy right there. The Roman centurion. How many ever heard of him? Say, "Oh yeah, come on. Surely he's on the cross. He's dead now. Jesus, you can't be still hunting." Yes, I can. I'm God. People matter. There's a big story. This is the beginning of millions coming to Jesus. This all matters. The Roman centurion, a soldier. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" Coming out of the mouth of a wicked Roman soldier. Luke says it this way, "Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly, this was a righteous man.'" Jesus has got the scoop on him, don't he? Say, come on. Trust me, this was not normal coming out of these guys' mouths. "And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried and gave up the ghost. He said," say it with me, "'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Very interesting thing about this Roman centurion. It was very important that he was right there where he was. This is no accident. Why? It's this man that Pilate calls. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and he called unto him the who? And he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Because there was a guy wanting to get the body, we're going to talk about him in a second, to bury him. And so Pilate called on the centurion to ask him, is he dead? And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to who? Joseph. This man, a rough, tough soldier man, had carried out crucifixions like this. This one was different. This one got him. Amen? You don't just cry. By the way, let me tell you something. That's what you need to say today. You need to say, Jesus, you're the Son of God. That's what you need to say. You need to say, Jesus, all other roads are dead ends. You're the only righteous one. That's what you need to say. That's what he said. That's what, praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, how do I know this guy's a believer? Because that's what it takes to be a believer. Are you listening or not? This is the Son of God. Can you say that? Jesus zeroed in on this guy. Whoop, crosshairs. Say it with me. Target. And I thought they were just carrying him off and, you know, and he had nothing to do with it. Are you crazy? Jesus said this. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself that I might take it up again. Amen? So he's on the hunt even while all this is going on. Got it? Keep looking. The crosshairs of Christ, and we're getting close. Here's the target or targets. Here they are right there. Those two people right there. Joseph of Arimathea and who? Now remember Nicodemus? He had met Jesus back in John 3 early on. Remember that? He came to him by night. Remember that? He's a Pharisee and he's seeking truth. But Jesus hadn't forgot about him. He forgot about him. He's on a hunt, man. Here he is. Jesus is dead. Hanging on the cross, dead. The hunt's still on. Y'all got it? Look at the scriptures. Now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, he came and he went in boldly unto Pilate, and he craved the body of Jesus. And he brought fine linen. After Pilate asked the centurion if he was dead and all that stuff, he then brought fine linen. He took him down. He wrapped him in linen. He laid it in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock. He rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulcher. Here's what Luke says about the story. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. And he was a good man and a just man. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He didn't think it was a good idea to kill Jesus. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went in unto Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus. He took it down. He wrapped it in linen. He laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before had been laid. Here's how John says it. A little bit different. There's somebody else there helping him. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. That's okay, you can do it. He came therefore and he took the body of Jesus. And there came also, say his name with me, Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they, can you say they? They, the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never a man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So here he is, hanging on the cross, and he's still on the hunt. Who do you have in their sights now? Could be these fellows were believers before. Seems to intimate that. But bottom line is, I know they are now. Amen? He zeroed in on them. Can you say it with me? Targets what? Hit. Wow. I'm about done with the message. Just a different way for us to look at the Passion Week. Amen? Hope you know Jesus cares for you. Amen? He loves you to pieces. The crosshairs of Christ. That's why I like this shirt. See that right there? The cross. See that? And the crosshairs. See that right there? You ought to get you one of these. Okay? When we were designing these, we don't send off for these. Anytime we design something, Roger, Joy, the team, we get together. And he had the crosshairs right there. And I said, can't you pull that thing down just a little bit and make a cross out of it? Because he's penetrated my heart. Target hit. The crosshairs of Christ. Let's close it out quick. Here we go. A common man, Simon. A convicted man, a thief. A soldier man, the Roman centurion. A caring man, Joseph. A religious man, Nicodemus. I don't know who you are up there. I don't know who you are, but he loves you. He's on the hunt for you. You understand? They were all different, but he was on the hunt. Even while he was carrying his cross, he's hunting. Being nailed to the cross, he's hunting. Hanging naked on the cross, he's hunting. Dying on the cross, he's hunting. Being taken off the cross, he's what? Hunting. Amen? Jesus was on the hunt. Amen? Now, Raj, you got to tell me if I can do this or not, brother. I'm going to try something different. Can you try it? You're in the crosshairs of Christ. We're going to try something. Can y'all be all right for a second? You're in the crosshairs of Christ. Technology. We might lose everything right here. But we're going to try it. Get in a building one day, it'll be sort of fun because we can do things because we can have time to do them and get them done. And practice. Here we have to do things on the fly. You're in the crosshairs of Christ. I want you to look. I want you to look, people. There you are. Okay? Not the best quality, the best we can do under the circumstances. You're in the crosshairs of Christ. Did y'all know that say? You're in the crosshairs of Christ. That's good. Good. You're in the crosshairs of Christ today. Jesus Christ loves you, no matter who you are today. Common man, convicted man, caring man, soldier man, whoever you are, you're in the crosshairs of Christ. Amen? Can you say that with me? I am in the crosshairs of Christ. Jesus Christ is on the hunt this morning for you. He loves you to pieces. Here's the last thing. Pop it up, Raj. I'm making you work, ain't it, brother? Thank you. Good job. Can you testify like I can? Pop it up. Target hit. Can you say that? Say. Can you say that of yourself? Target hit. Pastor, I know that Jesus Christ loves me, and I have put my faith and trust in Him and nobody else, Pastor. Target hit. Jesus hit me. Jesus came into my heart. Jesus came into my life. He put the scope on me. Kabang! I can tell you where I was. I can tell you how it happened. I can tell you what I believe. Can you say that? Can you know that? Can you speak with confidence and testify that I am a born-again Christian? Can you say that? Well, you ought to be able to say that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can you say, I once was lost, but now I'm what? I'm found. That's what this shirt says. The hunt. I'm found. I don't know that about all of you. I don't know where you're at. But today, I want to lead you in a prayer in just a minute where you can tell Jesus Christ you believe in Him and you put your confidence in Him. Amen? Because He's not done. He ain't finished. He's at the right hand of God making intercession. Tell me if I'm right or wrong on this verse. The Bible teaches He's at the right hand of God. It says this, He ever lives to make what? He is there right now at God the Father's right hand, ready to intercede on your behalf. Accept them, Father, because of my blood. Accept them, Father, because of me. Receive them, Father, because of what I did on the cross and because I rose from the dead. Accept them, Father, on my account. He's sitting right there, ever lives to make intercession for you. Amen? Let's stand together.